how did you start investigating ghost stories?
Well, it was back in 1995, and I can tell you, George, as a journalist, a trained journalist, I was not real thrilled with this assignment. Now picture this. You're a television reporter. You have to have picture, you have to have sound, and the assignment desk comes up with this brilliant assignment, and it sounds sexy and wonderful. Oh, let's do a series of ghost stories. Well, great. Who are you going to interview, a ghost? What are you going to use for pictures? Just a blank building, some sort of cemetery? I mean, what are you going to use?
Exactly.
And who are you going to interview? So I was not thrilled with this idea. So what I did was I thought, well, I need some sort of expert. I'm not going to be able to interview a ghost, for heaven's sake. So I'm going to have to punt here, so to speak. And so I called around to the library, which is what we usually do when we're stumped. And the library said, well, why don't you check with some New Age bookstores and see what you can find? So that's what I did. And I called one of the New Age bookstores in town. And they recommended a number of people who are, quote, sensitive in this area, unquote. And I came across a psychic by the name of Jeannie Ambrose, who lived down in Carson City. So I gave her a call, and delightful woman. She was more than happy to help me out and said, whatever you need, I'm there to help you, Terry. I think it's wonderful that you're going to do a series on ghost stories. And I had no idea where I was going to shoot this thing.
And
I mean, were
you still a little reluctant at that point?
Oh, of course I was reluctant. I'm thinking, where's a haunted house? I mean, it's not like people come up to you and say, oh, my house is haunted. Would you show this on the evening news? So I had no idea. And just really as just an off comment, I said to her, well, Jeannie, do you have any idea where there might be some places where we can go and even have access to? And without even missing a beat, she says to me, well, you want good ghost? Do you want bad ghost? Of course, I said, I want both.
Yeah, really?
And that's what she did. She set us up that year, and it was a phenomenal year for us.
Now, we have one of your clips that I'd like to play to kind of set the tone, Terry, for what we're going to talk about this hour. But why don't you kind of ad lib us into it right before we play it?
Well, this was the first piece of the series, and really it's the most controversial part of the whole series, and it kicks it off so nicely. What happened was Friday the 13th and a full moon happened to fall in October of 1995.
Perfect.
So we spent the night in a haunted house, and it was a house that Jeannie said was haunted by three ghosts who were good ghosts. It was Margaret, and then Molly and Charles, and those are two names, Molly and Charles, that are really relevant to this sound piece. Well, what happened is we spent the night in this house, and nothing happened. We thought, oh, great, you know, we shot the video, I shot my stand-ups, we were going to do a historical piece, and yeah, it was all written for me. And there was one point where we were getting ready to go to sleep, and it was in the back room of this vacant house down in Carson City, and my photographer and the psychic son thought they saw something. So, of course, my photographer started rolling. Wasn't till we got back to the station that we discovered we had voices on tape, a female voice that was not our own.
Okay, let's listen to this actual news report that Terry filed during this entire episode. Here it goes.
And her family work out of the house in Carson City.
Boy, were we surprised. Jeannie insists there are at least three ghosts in this home, Charles, Molly, and Margaret.
I believe Charles was here, and then they just kind of came in and hung out.
Jeannie says the three have been known to rattle dishes, bang on the sink, drop things on the floor, basically let you know they're around.
They'll give me a touch, or they'll walk by me.
Once we knew what to look for, Jeannie and everyone else left the house and locked the doors behind them. Besides myself, a newsroom assistant, Kevin, and our photographer, Harry, settled in. We waited and hoped something would happen. It was just before dawn when Jeannie's son, Paul, and his wife, Nikki, joined us. By now, we were more sleepy than curious. That's when we all went into the back room for a nap, and that's when Paul swore he saw something.
I just saw, like, this outline of a person, and then they were all three there. I don't know, it freaked me out.
You are shaking.
I know.
It wasn't until we got back that we discovered something on the videotape we thought we'd never find. It was at the time that Paul thought he saw something, our camera was rolling, and it picked up voices that are not our own.
Tell me, come here. Yeah, right. Charles.
You can hear our cameraman Harry egging the ghost Charles on, and you can hear Paul. But who are those other voices?
Tell me, come here. Yeah, right. Charles.
How those other voices got there, we have no explanation.
Oh, we call those EVPs, Terry. Sounds like you captured some.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is this, George. When we got back into editing, now, if I get too technical on this and your eyes begin to roll back into the back of your head, please stop me. But on our camera, and we were shooting on a format, it was a beta camera, we have what's called a natural sound microphone, and that's attached to the camera, and that's on the camera all the time. And it records in two channels, either one or two. We keep it real simple. Then we have another microphone that you can clip into the camera, and that's a closer microphone that usually has a longer cord, so you can do, say, a stand-up, or the reporter can talk in the field or can interview somebody.
Right.
So that you're not using that microphone that's on the camera. That long microphone, or channel 2 microphone, was put away into the bag. We only use the microphone that's on the camera to shoot just the B-roll, which is what Harry was shooting at the time. For some odd reason, and no one has been able to explain this, the female voice who says, "Hi, Charles," and then, "Molly, who are they?" that recorded in both channels 1 and 2, which is impossible, because there was only one microphone at the time, and you have to set it in either one channel or the other.
You can't take it. It can't go into both, right?
It cannot go into both. And then the odd thing about that is that we tried to boost the sound. You can tell the sound is very low. It's almost as if it's off into the distance.
Yes.
We tried to boost it. We couldn't boost the sound, because when we did, the voice would fall apart. So it's a very finite property there where that voice could be detected.